Amen. All right, well, we started a new series last week called Bridge Builders, and it's leading into this Serve Sunday that's going to happen next week. And then we'll probably finish it up on October 1st and recap everything. So in this series, we're going to talk about bridging the gap in our relationships, in our church, and in our community. And we'll have the unique opportunity to put this into practice real time next week as we spread out and serve our own town, our own people. And so really excited to do that. But last week, we focused on bridging the gaps in our personal relationships. And so we talked about three steps to start bridge building. It's going to be a minute up there, Chris. Sorry. So the first thing, we'll just recap in last week. The first thing that we talked about was needing a good blueprint. And part of that blueprint was found in the passage that we went through, and it was setting your mind on things that aren't of this world, living openly and honestly with each other, focusing on what we have in common and what makes us different, and then bearing with one another and forgiving one another. The second step was choosing forgiveness, and we talked about God not showing favoritism when it comes to forgiveness, and no matter the debt, God chooses to forgive us, right? No matter what we've done, no matter how bad we've messed up, no matter what we've done to people, God is choosing to forgive us. And then step three, we talked about start building. And we talked about love being that common goal, that common thing that binds all of this stuff together. And so love is that common goal we're building with. And we talked about the Golden Gate Bridge and how it had to be, all these things had to come together in order for it to be built. And that this common goal was to have this incredible bridge by the end of it. And just like that with us, love is that common goal that we're building with and building toward. And so we finished with forgiveness as a core teaching of Jesus. It was core to his ministry and the ministry of his life, and it's a core calling of ours. And so this week we're talking about reaching out. We're talking about reaching out or trying to bridge that gap between us and the community. So I'll start with a little story. During the American Revolution, you guys heard of that before? The war that freed us from the British? Okay. Guys. You have to have known that, right? Okay, good grief. I've already lulled you to sleep. During the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier that had been damaged in battle. Their leader of these soldiers was shouting instructions at them, but making no attempt to actually help them. And so the rider came by and confronted the leader, asking why he wasn't helping his soldiers. And the leader responds with great dignity, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized and dismounted his horse and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. When the job was done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief and I will come and help you again." The stranger was none other than George Washington himself. What a cool story, right? There's a clear barrier between a commander in chief and soldiers, right? Everybody know the difference? Commander in chief is president of the United States, right? That's a big deal. When was the last time you saw a president of the United States out on the front lines of war just doing normal soldier work? Never, right? Never, ever. But George Washington understood that sometimes barriers have to be broken, and he bridged the gap to support his fellow soldiers in their struggle. We're going to see an example of building or breaking barriers to bridge the gap this morning in Scripture. And it'll be familiar to a lot of you guys, I'm very sure, this story. But in getting there, we're going to talk about three things we all have to help build bridges. And so the first one is, we all have opportunity. We all have opportunity. John 4:35 says, Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So as we continue to strive to love one another and love our community, We need to bridge those gaps. All of us have an opportunity to show the true character of Christ through love. The fields are ripe for harvest. As Christians, we're called to be a reflection of Jesus. And what a better way than to mirror and show grace and mercy to those in need. The opportunities are all around us every day. And so the story we're going to look at is in Luke 10, and we see Jesus have an encounter with an expert in the law. And the expert is essentially asking, what will it take for him to get to heaven? And so Jesus answers him in the form of a story that I'm sure all of you guys will know. And it goes like this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road at the same time, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So Jesus is giving an answer to his question, who is my neighbor? And we find out a neighbor is actually anyone that we would come into contact with, anybody that would need help. So our neighbor might be someone who maybe who looks like us, or maybe who doesn't look like us, or maybe they share our beliefs, or maybe they don't share our beliefs, or maybe they are in the same social class as us, or maybe they're not in the same social class as us, or maybe they vote the same, or maybe they vote differently, or maybe they've done something in their past that we might not agree with, but our neighbor is someone that we would come in contact with. And I love the way that Jesus answers this Jewish expert. He says, he makes this Samaritan guy the hero. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along, right? They are not friendly neighbors. This is something that this expert in the law would not have liked to hear, because it's him telling him, you're going to have to bridge these gaps that you guys have created. So Jesus is saying that we have an opportunity to bridge the gap all the time, not just when we're around people that look like us or that make us feel good. We all have an opportunity to build bridges everywhere we go. And so, would it have been much more comfortable for us if Jesus would have given the answer that the guy was fishing for, right? It probably would have. If Jesus would have given that answer, if he would have said, well, your neighbor is someone who lives in a quarter mile radius of you, right? And they go to your church, and they think like you, and they act like you, and they talk like you, and they look like you. That'd be pretty easy, right? Not much gap to bridge there, right? You guys understand? Okay. So Jesus isn't calling us to be comfortable. He's calling us to opportunity. He's calling us to bridge the gap anywhere we can. And so that's why next Sunday we're going to impart on our town, and we're going to be out in the community working and serving where people that might not go to church or might not have a relationship with Jesus will see what we're doing, and in the town and the school and all in the park, these other government subsidized things are going to be partnering with us and the church, and we're going to be bridging those gaps that exist in our world. So maybe you are like me and you feel unequipped for that sort of calling. Anybody feel unequipped? Okay, just me? All right. Man, well, guess what? I'm unequipped, and so are you. But that leads us to our second thing, and that is we all have a toolbox. We all have a toolbox. Have you ever assembled anything from IKEA or Amazon or any sort of piece of furniture that's come in a box that you have to put together? Okay, I'm going to need hands. I don't know if this is going to work. Okay, good, good. So you guys have all been frustrated as well. Okay, so we ordered full bunk beds one time, and you know, bunk beds are they're high and long and tall and deep, you know, for two people to sleep on. And it came in one tiny box. And I thought, what in the world? And sure enough, every individual piece of these bunk beds are in this little box. And what came with that little box? A set of instructions and a tiny little Allen wrench, right? If you're using that Allen wrench, it would take you 6 to 8 weeks, and then your kids would be sleeping in their new bunk beds. You give it about 5 minutes with that Allen wrench, and you quickly go to your toolbox and you grab the drill, right? And if you don't have that Allen bit, you take your bolt cutters and you cut that thing off, and then you cinch your drill around it, and now you've got one, right? Yeah, horrible, horrible stuff. If we can only access what we can produce, it would take us forever to build bridges. It would take us forever to build the gap, and it would be almost impossible. Fortunately for us, we have the Holy Spirit, and in Galatians it talks about the Holy Spirit producing within us this fruit. Then the longer we walk with Jesus, the more fruit is produced. So in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So before Jesus, I might see someone struggling and think, "Ah, it stinks to be them," you know? Or they must have really messed up their life. That's too bad for them, right? But now I possess kindness and gentleness, so I see those situations differently. Or before Jesus, if someone cut me off in traffic, right, I would be inclined, not that I would do this, but I would be inclined to pull up beside them, roll my window down, and just chuck a travel mug at their car and drive on, right? We've had those thoughts, don't lie, right? Come on. Okay, just me. That's okay if that one's just me. You guys, I'll let that one pass. But now, right, now somebody cuts me off in traffic, I have access to patience or forbearance and self-control. The Holy Spirit has done a work within me, right? If somebody pops off, I don't punch them in the mouth, right? No, because I have self-control and I have patience given to me by the Holy Spirit. And just watch kids, right? Kid says something mean to the other one, you know, the little kids, 2, 3 years old, wham, right? Don't think anything of it. That's our instinct. But the Holy Spirit has transformed us from within. It would be impossible to physically build a bridge with just an Allen wrench. Could you imagine? Like physically, like here you're tasked with building this bridge and you've got your plans, you've got your blueprint, you've got your crew, and then they hand you one Allen wrench. Not happening, right? You would need access to lots of different tools to complete that kind of a project. And it's no different for us spiritually. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no way I can succeed at that without access to the proper tools. Isn't that such a cool thought that Jesus has given us this big, uncomfortable calling that we can't really handle in loving our neighbor, but he doesn't just leave us with the Allen wrench, right? He's not IKEA. He doesn't ship this calling to your door and say, "Here it is, here's how you do it," right? Here's your calling, here's your Bible, and then that's it, right? He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us His Spirit and access to His toolbox through the Holy Spirit. And the third thing for us today is that we all have to break barriers. We all have to break barriers. There are countless barriers that we encounter on a regular basis, whether it be physical, relational, cultural, social, financial, the list goes on and on and on. There's lots of barriers that we encounter. And just like this Samaritan man breaking a cultural barrier to help a fellow human in need, Jesus is calling us to break through barriers to help people, to help our community, to help those who are hurting in our surroundings. This was a countercultural calling, right? This was something that would not have set well with the Pharisees, with the Jewish experts in the law. But it still is a countercultural calling, right? What are we, 2020 something years later? It's still a very countercultural calling to break barriers. The norm, right? The norm for people, the norm for us is to love inside of the boundaries that we've set up, right? It's good to love people that go to my church or go to my school or that I work with, and it's good to, it's normal. That feels good and comfortable and safe for us, right? But this was a very, I mean, Jesus took it to the far extreme. Going down the road, owe this person nothing. Oh, by the way, it's someone whose culture you don't get along with, and then you're still supposed to stop, give up your time, your money, your energy, your effort to help this person. That's a big, uncomfortable calling, and it's very countercultural and still is today. So Jesus is calling us to break through those barriers, just like the Samaritan man in the parable, and just like George Washington with his soldiers, right? It's not the exact parallel, but just like in the story we heard at the beginning, right? He's calling us to be leaders, to be people that bridge gaps and to break barriers. So the kingdom of heaven is not exclusive, right? The kingdom of heaven is not this exclusive club that only the qualified are allowed into. We have to remember there isn't us and them in the kingdom of heaven. Or another way of saying that, I guess, is we have to remember that as people, right, as humans, other humans are not the enemy, right? And that's not saying there's not bad people that do bad stuff. There is, right? There are people that have done things that are horrible and wretched, and we should stay away from that sort of thing. But people are not the enemy, right? The evil that is being done, Satan, the enemy is the enemy, right? We get so worked up on this, that group doesn't think how I think, so they're the enemy. That's not the truth. That's not what Jesus is calling us to, and that's not how Jesus views our world. And so we have to get back to remembering first that people are not the enemy, that people are a part of the kingdom of heaven. It's not exclusive. It is a very inclusive group. It's all of us. So last week, we talked about starting within our own barriers, starting within our personal relationships, within our homes, and then maybe within our circles, within people that we've potentially wronged, or they might have wronged us, but the people that we love, that there might be a void or a gap that we need to bridge. And we talked about the importance of forgiving and approaching that and making reconciliation in those relationships. And this week, we're talking about starting to bridge the gap outside of our circles. So not just the people that we know and love, but the people that we maybe have never met or that maybe we never have wanted to meet, right? We all have those sorts of, or the people that we met and don't want anything to do with. I know that's probably me for all of you guys, but I know we've all got one, right? We're talking about that, talking about loving the people that we don't necessarily want to love or are uncomfortable trying to love. So next week, we're going to try, right? We're going to try as a church because why not try something, right? We can't just sit and do nothing. So next week, we're going to try to put this into practice as a church by partnering with our town and with our school to meet some needs in our community. And so as we leave today, in the week leading up to Serve Sunday, I want to first challenge you to a couple of questions, and this pertains specifically to what we talked about today. Am I missing out on opportunities to love my neighbor? Am I missing out on opportunities to love my neighbor? Is there opportunities that God has just been tossing, just tossing meatballs right in front of me? Am I missing those opportunities to love my neighbor? So think, just be thinking about this this week. And then the second question and third, fourth, fifth question with that, why am I missing those opportunities? So am I missing the opportunity, and then why am I missing those? Am I too busy? Am I not paying enough attention? Do I not have the financial means? I mean, that's a real thing, right? Maybe I just don't have enough money. Like, I see somebody on the side of the road, I can't afford a hotel for them. That's a real thing, right? Do I not have the physical means to do this? Why am I missing those opportunities? That's what I want us to be thinking about this week. And then a follow-up to that is, what could I shift around in my life to make sure I'm not missing opportunities to love my neighbor? So if I'm too busy, maybe I need to let something go. If I'm not paying attention, maybe I need to put my device down. And notice I'm saying I'm not calling you guys out. I'm calling me out right now. But maybe I need to let something go. Maybe I need to put my device down and start paying attention to what I'm doing, right? And who I'm seeing and what I'm coming into contact with. And maybe that applies to you guys as well. So what could I do to shift? What could I shift around in my life to make sure that I'm not missing opportunities to love my neighbor? And then lastly, I would challenge you to sign up for a project for Serve Sunday. We have an opportunity to begin to bridge the gap between church and community. So I would ask that we take advantage of it, that you give up a couple hours of your time and put some physical action to this concept that we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. So this week, strive to be someone who breaks barriers. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you for another day to just commit to learning about you. God, we're so thankful for this kingdom of heaven that is inclusive, that doesn't leave people out because of what they look like or what they've done, because every one of us would be left out. So God, we're so thankful for that. Help us to see people through your eyes. Help us to know that no matter what a person thinks or does or acts like or looks like, that God, they are made in your image and they love you and they are worth building, or and you love them and they are worth building a bridge between. God, help us to be those kinds of people that break through barriers, that access these fruits of the Spirit that you've given us, and that take these opportunities that you're putting in front of us. We're so humbled that you would even just allow us to be a part of your ministry and what you're already working on in advance. And so we thank you for that this morning. So God, as we close today, I just ask that you would keep these questions at the forefront of our mind. Am I missing opportunities? Do I need to shift some priorities around? Why am I missing the opportunities that you're putting in front of me to bridge gaps? So God, we thank you for your grace, and we want to be people that build bridges to get that grace to as many people as possible. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand with us this morning. Our altars here are always open. If you feel the need to respond to something God's been saying to you this morning, maybe that Holy Spirit we've been talking about is doing some convicting work in your life. The altars are a great place to come. I would just ask that you would take these next few moments, and we have a few moments. We're early anyway this morning, so just put lunch aside for a second, put the game aside for a second, and just really listen. Just, what is it that God's trying to tell me this morning? What opportunities have I been missing, or what opportunities do I see that God wants me to jump into? So sing with us, reflect, think about what God's been telling you this morning.